We continue our efficient ministry training with talking about anointing, like anointing with oil. When anointing has been done, it often has been done with the anointing the sick for healing. So we're going to talk about that. But there's also anointing for things like ordination and other things that are included in that. So let's talk about anointing ceremonies. Now, to begin, let's just talk about faith as connected to anointing ceremonies. Faith is being open to possibilities. I mean, that's what we read in the Bible. Faith in your walk with God journey. And it's fascinating to think about that when in the Bible, when Jesus would bring healing and heal someone, like the boy who needed healing. In Mark 9, verse 24, you can look up the whole passage. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief." I bring up this passage because it seems like there is controversy and there is sort of confusion about, you know, praying or faith, or many people have a condition like with faith, if you have enough faith, you get what you want. And it's even applied sort of in our commercial world, our material world, that if you believe that you will be wealthy, you'll receive the blessing of wealth. So belief and the wealth are connected together. People also believe that when you pray or anoint someone with oil, your faith will, with that anointing, bring healing. But when you look closely at the Bible, the Bible is about faith in Christ Jesus. And when you are in that walk of faith with Christ Jesus, it opens you to the possibilities that God is going to act in surprising ways. God is going to act in ways that He knows that we don't know. He's going to act that His will is done on earth. But as we pray, we are open to new possibilities we never before imagined. I remember early in my ministry, when I was just out of ministry training school at Calvin Seminary, I was in my first internship and the pastor left for another call. So I was in my 20s, early 20s, and I was pastoring a very large church. And I remember driving to the hospital and Shar Skipman, Herm Ottenhoff, a week apart, both had advanced cancer. And they were going to operate to do their best. And I remember asking the Lord, you know, please heal them. I'm new in ministry. Lord, heal Herm and Shar. And I will always pray and be open to the possibilities that prayer matters. So both of them were opened up and both of them were found healed. After we prayed and had a ceremony of prayer, it was so amazing. But shortly after that, Wilma, who also had advanced cancer, was not healed. I remember prayerfully searching the scriptures in this, and I began to realize that my faith is a relationship, a walk. And by faith, we are open to possibilities never before imagined. This passage is amazing to me. I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. That whole journey is the journey that everyone has. Eventually, we all will die unless Christ comes back in our lifetime. So what we are really open to the possibility is that, like the Apostle Paul has said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And I am going to be part of that possibility. And I am going to be part of the healing ministry of Christ Jesus to my very last breath. Because Christ Jesus is everything. I do believe. help me overcome my unbelief. In 1 Peter 2, verse 24, He Himself bore our sin in His body on a tree that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed. All healing comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. All healing comes through the restored relationship. All resurrection, the healing of death, of our death, come through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our wounds, our infirmities, we are open to the possibility of a life with God, and our prayers do matter. So people do ask the question, does God always answer with physical healing? And the honest answer is no. Sometimes the answer is wait, and sometimes the answer is yes. I have seen all three, but it's always the expression of faith-filled prayers matter as we pray over someone and even anoint them with oil. I wanted to illustrate an example of a wait or a no, just so that it's clear that two is in the Bible. 2 Timothy 4, verse 20, Aretas stayed in Corinth, and I left Trophimus sick in Miletus. So Trophimus sick in Miletus. Here's an example of the Apostle Paul, who it says in the book of Acts that handkerchiefs were brought to sick people and they were made well. Now, it wasn't the handkerchief that changed it, is the open possibilities of Jesus Christ, the gospel, ministry, everything that we're about. We open the possibilities for miracles, for things that cannot be explained by our science or our world. You know, people feel like, well, you know, when as ministers, we just kind of help people get connected to God for their eventual salvation. Yeah, we do that. But I believe we are ministers of possibilities. And we don't have to claim that all the possibilities are yes. Nor do we have to be go through actions and just sort of feel like the possibilities are no, but it's good for our soul. We are ministers of possibilities. And there are times when, even though we are ministers of possibilities, God has another possibility for somebody like Trophimus. I don't know what God had in store for him by leaving him sick in Miletus. But at no point did Paul say to himself, I don't have enough faith about Miletus right now. I guess I'm just going to leave him sick there. You know, we are about health. And do you see that in the early church? Here's another example. 1 Timothy 5, verse 23, Paul says to Timothy, stop drinking only water. Use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illness. Now, this can be translated in the Greek is, stop drinking water only, not in, include a little wine in your water. And the reason he would say that is was back then water was very bad to drink, and a little wine would kill the germs in the water. Not a lot of wine don't make you drunk, but in the end, God wants you to drink pure water. That, you know, we're not going to create a world where all we do is get healed from environmental circumstances. Well, I drank bad water. Lord, heal me thus because I prayed over it. No, God honors the laws of creation. In fact, even the medical community, it's a beautiful thing. Is anointing then in the Bible? Yes. Here's one. Mark 16, verse 13. They drove out many demons, anointed many sick people with oil, and healed them. To me, that is a beautiful example of both if someone needs prayer over their spiritual warfare, to anoint them would be very appropriate. Anointing many sick with oil and healing them. Now, is it that every one of them will be healed? That's up to the Lord. That's up to being open to the possibilities. We do not want to throw conditional things that faith is not asked to do. While all healing comes in concert with our faith, faith opens us to the possibilities. So we obediently anoint people for healing. James 5 verse 14, is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church and pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. By his stripes we are healed. And we, in obedience, are open to the possibilities of healing. And we have noticed that the Lord has a plan, and we are eager to see that plan. Before I mentioned that Christians don't go over against the medical community, and I have anointed people in hospitals, and people have received the news they have cancer, and then we anoint them with oil and commit their entire cancer treatment to the healing of the Lord. And we see that in Luke 10, verse 34. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. You know, again, they would use wine to make sure the infections would not set in. So you see, medical treatment is in the Bible. Jesus used mud, and mud was considered something of a healing medicinal purpose, and in following through. But again, it's having the openness to the possibility of the healing and knowing that healing comes from the Lord. When you actually dare to anoint someone boldly with oil for healing, or anoint them for healing that the treatment of the doctors is going to do, that's a powerful faith statement. The other statement is, oh, I don't want to be so bold. I don't want to dare to believe. I don't want to dare to dream. I don't want to take my problem and bring it to the Lord. And I don't want to dare, because if it doesn't happen the way I want it, somehow it reflects poorly on my faith or on the faith of the person that I've anointed. And so many times the egos get involved in this. When we're expecting too much of ourselves, this is the work of God. And when we anoint someone for healing, God has healing in mind. It's the healing of, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. It's the healing of take up your bed and walk healing. That's possible. It's the go get medical treatment and we ask the Lord to be with you and change you while you're waiting and be with the doctors when they perform the procedures. It's the wait, that healing will come. It's the I have another piece of the onion to pull away before that healing is going to be there. And I've seen that too, where we'll pray for a psychological healing or a healing of a past wound or a healing of a hurt. And I'm like, Lord, just bring healing and bring it now. We've anointed this person with oil for this hurt, this damaged emotion. Please bring healing. And the healing doesn't come right away, but then being open to the possibility, curious to what God is going to do, the Lord shows up. And because, to me, it's a little mysterious, I have learned I'm not getting the credit, and I'm not going to claim I'm some faith healer or something like that. I remember back to that story I told you earlier with Herm and with Shar and with Wilma. After two healings in a row, I thought I had the gift of healing, and I was sort of like, hey, I had no doubts that God healed. But when Wilma was taken to be with the Lord, that made me realize that I am an agent of healing, but God is the healer. I am the bringer of the possibility in faith. I'm the one who shares that faith experience that the person who needs healing can also be uplifted. Lord, help me in my unbelief. I'm the one that can be a tool to help someone in their unbelief. And then, through that prayer, God can bring healing. To me, the whole thing is amazing. But I'm going to pivot now with anointing. So one anointing ceremony type of thing can be for healing. Another, I believe, are other things. And we see that in the Bible. I'll give you another example. The anointing for ministry, for launching in ministry. About Jesus Christ, it's said in Hebrews 1 verse 9, you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness, therefore God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. Paul said this way in the book of Philippians, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy set before him, the oil of joy. That's what ministry is about. To be a licensed, ordained minister is to be part of the work of the joy set before you, and the sacrifice and the commitment and the well done, good and faithful servant. I believe it's very appropriate to anoint someone with oil at their license or ordination ceremony. Now, I know that in this world that things happen online, I know there's different sensitivities, but I love the practice of anointing people for ministry. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. But there's other passages. Back into the Old Testament, they were anointing for being ordained to ministry. This would have been Levitical priesthood, which is their form of ministry. Ministers in the Old Testament, Exodus 28, verse 41, after you put these clothes on your brother Aaron and his sons, anoint and ordain them, consecrate them, so they may serve me as priests. In Acts, I didn't see oil here, but I can picture that oil may have been used there. And I just want to talk about this a second. I'll read the passage and I want to comment on this. The book of Acts. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Over the years, when I have laid my hands to pray for someone for healing or ordination, I have thought of this as pretty much the same ceremony. If I had oil with me, I would use the oil. If I didn't, I just let the oil of my hands, the natural oil, be there. But I always believed that laying on of hands, and we see that practice for ordination, for Timothy, the laying on of hands, for now Barnabas and Saul. But then seeing the Old Testament, you know, anointed with oil, ordaining, anointed with oil, prayer, anointing with oil. And as I become more and more connected over the years with Christendom throughout the world, I am clearly tacking that though I consider them in my mind the same thing, I believe having that little oil flax, which, you know, flax of that oil, little oil jar with you, and whether it's healing or whether anointing for ministry, and especially seeing that Jesus was anointed with the oil of joy. So I see the oil of healing, the oil of joy. It's, to me, pretty incredible. Now let's talk about the ceremony itself. So what would an anointing with oil ceremony look like? Well, you need oil, and I just love that, having like a little jar of oil with you. You have that. I also believe, you know, you start the start that actual oil anointing ceremony with reading scriptures related to the occasion. Now, this can be part of a bigger ceremony where there's some hymns and songs, or even a little message. And then, so read some scripture, then pray, then pour oil on your fingers and dab the oil on the forehead. Or you can pour the oil right on their head and say something like this, you know, Susan, John, I anoint you in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit for, and then mention what the occasion is or the ordination is all about. And it's very powerful. And again, you can make the prayer longer. The issue is not to get caught up in what I'm saying here, but to just see that it's a simple ceremony. And as a simple ceremony, you are bringing the possibility of incredible things. I believe that even when Jesus, after he was baptized, it was kind of interesting, and he was anointed, I believe, in this case, with the Holy Spirit through a dove, where it rested on his head. Again, all of these things bring in a possibility, and through our obedience, we also are making a story, a visualization for people to see. It's just not so much in the mind, but there's also action. It's in the mind. It's through action. It is through seeing that the promises of God are real, and the possibilities that God brings are real. That faith matters, and hope and love and a walk with God, and help me in my unbelief, and see the miracles or see the faithfulness, see the will of God unfold before us. So the anointing ceremonies are beautiful ceremonies. And as you learn these officiating ministry skills and these ways to minister to people, may God bless you as you are ministering to others through faith, through the stripes of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the humility, knowing that these things are not of yourselves, that God is with us, God is with you, God is at work in this world, and you are a bringer of the redemption and the gospel. And ceremonies matter. They matter a lot, not because they're rituals, but because they are those very specific habits and behaviors that open the possibility for amazing things happening in this world.